We've been moving through a series on neighboring, and this week is the conclusion of that. So if you've been away for the summer and just coming back, we've moved through a five-part series. Today is the fifth part. We really want to encourage you to jump on the website and be able to listen to the podcast or watch it on Vimeo, kind of where we've been going in this process, because it's been a great journey just introducing this idea of neighboring and what it means for us to actually move out in a missional life with God. And we want to just bring back to you again kind of the journey that we've been moving through. The very first message was on the subject of every person matters, every person really does. And the idea that we're called to love God, and then we're to be letting God love others through us. That we're going to experience the love of God and have our eyes open to the fact that God loves and treasures every human being that we encounter. And as we know Him, His love moves through us. It was so great to sing that worship song this morning, Build My Life. There's a line in it that says, "Show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me." And that needs to be our prayer, because we're constantly battling internally but externally with lies that we've been talking about that we have to renounce, like some people matter more than others. Well, for God, every person matters, and He wants the gospel to come to every person.
In the second week of the series, you talked about embracing the journey. If we're really going to lean into this call to love the people around us, we're also going to have to embrace some messiness, even some pain at times, in order to experience the joy and the amazing work that God can do in the lives of those around us. But people are messy. I'm messy. You're messy. And sometimes we can cower a little bit and want to hide in our safe space where we don't have to enter into the mess of the world around us. But if we're going to take seriously God's call to love those around us, we're also going to have to embrace the journey.
Yeah. And the way that that journey happens is by taking steps of faith. And we talked in the third week about the idea of what is faith, so that as we're walking and we take a step into the unknown, into that chasm that we saw in the video clip that we saw that week, is the idea that actually God's prepared a way for us to come through, and that God will show up for us. God isn't one to trick us or to lead us somewhere where He's not already at work. God invites us and says, come and do that work with me. And we engage that by exercising the muscle of our faith, by taking faith steps. And those faith steps can happen with some very foundational things like good works and good deeds and good words. But also we want to begin to see gospel deeds and gospel words happen in our life too, where we see the miraculous work of God to orchestrate things so that people begin to understand and move from uninterested in their journey to curious, to meeting Jesus for the first time, growing and thriving, and even to turn around then and guide others in that faith journey themselves.
And that's where we talked about last week. As we move forward in faith, every step counts. The big and the small, God uses all of those things in our journey towards Jesus. Whether it's the journey of coming to know Jesus or the journey of growing in Jesus, there really is no insignificant step that we take along the way. So Jeff, where does that lead us this morning?
Well, one thing is God calls us to not go it alone. Now, I don't know how often you've done team preaching up here, but it's been a lot of fun working with Pastor Greg on putting this series together. And since our theme for the last week is don't go it alone, we're not designed to do things just by ourselves, we thought we would share this message in a team preaching kind of way.
So
what we want to do is to encourage you the fact that when we take steps of faith, and every step counts, that those steps of faith are going to be much more powerful and completed when we're doing it in conjunction with someone else. We've talked a little bit about the Mission Hub app along the way, from which some of the roots of this series have arisen. Some of you actually have downloaded and begun using that. A very interesting thing happened in the research and the application of this app. When people first began to download it, the app actually only featured individual activity, individual steps of faith. In other words, I just did it for me. I measured my own steps and completed those and marked those. And in that process, there was a 5% step completion rate. In other words, what I put in, only 5% were completed, which sounds like a really small number, and it is a pretty small number. I guess in the world of technology and data and that kind of thing, that's actually some reason to rejoice. But really, we knew it could be better than that. So the app was built to build communities who would work together on this journey of faith, being able to be neighborly, to reach out and live the missional life. Well, when people began to work and use it together, those steps of faith went up to 35 to 40% step completion. Remarkable. You know, the courage and the application, the accountability, the encouragement, the celebrations that could happen in that process. Because we were made to live in friendship, in community, in relationship with other people in every area of our life, this is how it moves forward. Now, we see this very practically in cultural stories around us. My family really enjoys Pixar movies. Greg, your family?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. So Pixar came out with their next movie this summer, Toy Story 4. Toy Story came out at the top of the ranking as we read this USA Today article ranking Pixar movies. We had a little family experiment of saying, well, what do you think is the best movie? And we had this big discussion around it. Well, Toy Story kind of came out toward the top. And we felt like we wanted to show you this little clip about a dynamic duo in the Toy Story movies, especially since we have Giddy Up Gulch set up here. It'd be kind of fun to see Cowboy Woody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's take a look.
Welcome to the world of Woody and Buzz.
Last looks, everyone. Here we go.
Good to see you.
You've got a friend in me.
So when was the first time you guys met?
I don't recall the first time meeting you.
That was so long ago.
You have been Buzz for, what, 45 years? How long have we been doing this?
45 years.
I don't know.
So we don't necessarily say, hey, how you doing? We just sit down and start getting it.
It's almost this relationship in a weird way.
Whoa. You need help?
No, I got it.
Now we end up sort of like speaking the secret language.
Woody, it's Bo Peep!
What are you doing here?
One word to describe each other.
Skilled.
Cranky.
Wow.
Next question.
You're kidding.
Talk about the beginnings of Woody and Buzz.
All I remember saying was, this is a great story. I mean, it was a great story.
From the very first moment of the very first Toy Story, there is a comforting relationship that you have with these toys, and it continues.
Toy Story 4 is a transition to a much bigger world. I love these characters.
Yeah!
What I will say, Woody found a great friend in Buzz, and Tom has found a great friend.
And I totally agree. I adore our friendship, and I thank you two for getting these two
as well.
Buzz! On my way, Woody!
Buzz, Lightyear to the rescue.
All right, so this is not a promotion for you to see Toy Story 4, no obligation based on that video. But we wanted to just show, because there's these dynamic duos, these pairs that come together and they exemplify friendship. And behind this crazy story about these two toys, an actual friendship forms between the two actors who actually have played those in that role. And you can think of kind of these best friends in a lot of different contexts, the community that you're together with. On social media, there's the phrase or the letters BFF, best friends forever, we're besties, and all these pictures exemplifying the kind of relationship that we want to have in terms of friendship, in terms of being able to go into the adventure together. And not only a friendship, but a community together. That's really how God designed us, is to be in this kind of relationship together. But, Greg, it's hard. You know, why is it so hard?
Well, it's really challenging. And I don't know if you guys can relate to this, because I definitely do, is sometimes it feels easier just to kind of stick to ourselves. And there's this lie that we can believe that is this, that sometimes that sharing this journey with others is just too vulnerable. There's these things about me below the surface that if others knew this about me, I wonder what they would think of me or how they would treat me or if those things would change. Or if I was totally myself, would I be accepted? Or even, you know, it can not just be the things inside of us. It can be our life, our house, our home. If they saw my marriage dynamic, my kid dynamic, my friendship dynamic, how would other people think and treat me? And so what we can do is we can kind of stick to what we know and be a little bit isolated and a little bit alone and not really venture into this journey of true friendship, true togetherness, truly being known. But the reality is, and this is what we're going to unpack today, is that everyone is meant to go and grow alongside of others. Everyone is meant to go and grow alongside of others. So maybe you're here this morning and there's kind of this call out, if you will. to maybe engage some people around you, or maybe to be known a little bit more. But as we're going to see, this call to neighbor and to love those around us, God is calling us into community with others. So will you join me as we just pray for our time here this morning? Father God, we ask that you would open our eyes to see you more fully. We ask that you would open our hearts and our ears to hear what you would have to say to us. God, we have a tendency to avoid vulnerability and to strike out on our own, but God, may we be a people and be a church that in rich community together shows your love to others. May we not miss out on celebrating just bigger things that you're doing, seeing what you're doing in the lives of people around us, truly being a church that comes together and praises you with energy and connection, knowing that we are known and loved by you, known and loved by each other, and take that love to the world around us. God, you're going to challenge us this morning. May we respond to what you have to say to us. We pray this in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We're going to look at the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. So if you have a Bible or you want to open on your Bible app, Luke chapter 10. We're going to actually walk through this idea of sending out of 72 people that Jesus did. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all record the sending out of the 12. In the Gospel of Luke, there's also a second group that send out, the group of 70. And Greg, this group really encourages me because you think of the 12 as kind of like the all-star team. These are the apostles, you know, so they're amazing. But who are these other people who are sent out, right? So 58 or 60 other people, depending on how you read the passage in the Greek, 70 or 72 are sent out. How does that group look? Who are they? What do they do? They're nameless. They're faceless. And they're sent out by Jesus to do this very similar ministry. And there's so many principles that we can learn in terms of being able to go and to grow together on the journey. So let's begin by just looking at the first two verses. Chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, says this. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send his workers into his harvest field." There's so much to look at here, but the main point that I want to be able to bring out again for you is go together. Go together. After we've been talking about this, or as you saw Buzz and Woody, or the actors who played them, you know, who is the person that you want to be on mission with? Right? So the whole series hasn't just been about you. It's been about someone else as well. Who could you go out with and participate in the ministry of Jesus in your neighborhood or workplace? Who's that partner going to be for you? Because Jesus' plan, not only in this passage that we're reading now, but throughout the New Testament, is sending people out in twos or in groups. If you read the book of Acts, you see Peter and John going out to the Gate Beautiful. You read about Paul and Barnabas going out on a mission trip and taking Mark along with them. You read these names. You see a couple like Priscilla and Aquila as a married couple doing ministry together. Is everybody tracking with me? This is a go-together type of experience. Jesus sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. Now, when I think of the two-by-two principle, I think actually in our culture, and I think a lot of people would grab this image in the wider culture, of two very handsome young men with short haircuts wearing shirt and tie on bikes in a neighborhood. Who am I talking about? We're in an area in Sacramento that has one of the highest LDS Mormon populations outside of Utah. In fact, I think it's right near the top, especially where I live in Folsom and El Dorado Hills. So I've gotten to know a lot of people who are part of that church. And I want to remind all of us about two words that maybe you've heard before, but I want to make sure that you know and understand them today. If you hear them for the first time, lock this into your heart. The two words are orthodoxy and orthopraxy. Orthodoxy means right belief, believing the right things and having the right understanding of things, of beliefs. Orthopraxy is having right practices. In other words, you're putting into practice those things that you believe. And what we're called to be as biblical Christians is to have good orthodoxy and good orthopraxy. The interesting thing about my LDS friends, Greg, is they actually are landing the plane really excellently on a bunch of orthopraxy things, including going out 2x2 and sharing what they believe. The challenge is what they believe is off, right? Their orthodoxy is off. And I think sometimes one of the challenges that we see in our culture, in church culture, is that there's a lot of congregations and churches that have good orthodoxy. They have right beliefs. They've been biblically taught and trained like Sunrise Church. But in terms of our practices, we're off. You know, we aren't doing the things that we're called to do. And very distinctly, I want to challenge you, Sunrise. This series is calling you and challenging you to live in the way of Jesus in new ways in your life. And to say, even today, that this is a day of mark in the sand of where we're going to walk in ways that we haven't before. I want to tell you a story. Last week, God does this to us as preachers sometimes, where he brings something our way before we have to teach it, so we can teach it with integrity. A week ago Saturday, my wife Heather called me and said, hey, Lucy contacted me, this woman that she's discipling and mentoring, and she wants to go out and prayer walk her neighborhood and then actually go near her neighborhood where there's homeless people and talk to them on the street. And she wants to do it next Sunday afternoon, which was last Sunday. And I was thinking, okay, I'm going to be coming to Sunrise. I'm going to be working in the morning. I'm going to be tired. There's other things I might want to do on Sunday afternoon. I'm thinking through all these excuses. And then I'm like, uh-oh, God's got an agenda with Jeff. So I said, okay, well, maybe if Tyler, Lucy's husband, wants to go, then we could go together. And then, of course, Lucy asks her husband, and he says yes. And now God has two teams of two, prayer walking the neighborhood and going out and talking to homeless people. And we had a great experience, right? But this is something where God stirred Lucy's heart to have good practice, to go out and do what we're called to do. And she reached out to others. And now all of a sudden, we're doing it because we would go together. The second quick point that I want to make in this passage is, as we go together, is there's this idea that their people are ready. Be encouraged, Sunrise Church. People are ready. Ed Stetzer is a leading researcher on culture and religion in America. He worked for Lifeway for a long time. Now he's at Wheaton in the Billy Graham Center there, doing research on especially on evangelism in America. All of the recent research in the last 3 years say that more than 2/3 of Americans who don't go to church or who aren't engaged in faith in Christianity would welcome a faith conversation with someone who is a Christian. So in other words, 2 out of 3 people that you're going to meet when you go out with someone else are going to welcome a faith conversation with you. Now, those numbers might shift and vary across the United States, in California versus Tennessee or something like that. But people are hungry for a genuine conversation about faith. And Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. There are people that God has made ready for the workers to go into the harvest. And we are his workers. Greg?
Yeah. You know, so Jesus has set up really for his disciples the ultimate field trip, right? He says, all right, 72, you're going to go. Pair up with your buddy. And then he gives them this amazing pep talk that we just read. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. You ever pray a prayer that you realize you're the immediate answer to it? That's what this is right here, okay? So he tells them to pray, and then he says to them in verse 3, go. All right, we're paired up, we're going to go, the harvest is plentiful. All right, guys, and then look what he says next. I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. Huh? The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, but I am sending you out like lambs among wolves. And I read this, and I love the honesty of Jesus here. Because what he is telling them is, as you go, this is not about you and your training and your sufficiency. You're going to have to trust me. They are going to have to depend on Jesus as they do this. He goes on to not just say that you're going like lambs among wolves, but he gives them some instructions. He says, don't take a purse or bag or sandals. This is barefoot ministry we're talking about here. And do not greet anyone on the road. He said, don't get sidetracked. Let's back this up a little bit. Don't greet anyone on the road. As you go, do not get sidetracked. I've got a town that you're going to. You're going to go there before me. Stay focused. If you feel like you need something or you don't know the way, just keep going, trusting in me. I'll get you there. Do not take a purse or a bag or sandals. No extra supplies. No satchel of food to rely upon. Once you get to that town, as we'll read later, Jesus is going to make sure that their provisions are taken care of. I'm sending you out like lambs among wolves. I remember the time when I was in college. I'd grown up in the church, but I'd never really talked to people about Jesus in my life. And I was going to my senior year of college, and I was on a mission trip in Ocean City, New Jersey. And one of my first days there, a group of other students look at me and say, all right, let's go. We're going to go talk to people about Jesus. And I thought to myself, this is terrifying. I don't feel prepared. I didn't take the class. What are we going to say? And we went out and we talked to people, and we did this all summer long. Probably talked with 100 different people about Jesus that summer. And it completely changed my life. And it completely changed the way that I saw my relationship with God, because I didn't need to be adequate. I didn't need to have it all down. I didn't need to know what was going to happen. But there was an opportunity just to trust, to be out of my comfort zone, and guess what happened? God showed up in incredible ways. You see in your bulletin, there's a mission trip to Belize coming up in October. This is another opportunity to be out of your comfort zone, where you can't just rely on what you know, but an opportunity where God will show up as you trust him and your life will be forever changed by it. Maybe he's calling you today to that trip in Belize, to be out of your comfort zone. Maybe you'll email today and sign up. I don't know. But we know that God doesn't just call us to the safe places. He calls us to where we have to depend on him. And friends, can you trust Jesus this morning? Are you willing to go to the places where you know you're out of your comfort zone? Where you know that he has to show up? Because frankly, I think that's where God does some of his most amazing work.
Yeah, so now you're out on the road. You actually have your friend. You're depending on Jesus. You're asked the question, can I trust Jesus? You're saying, yes, they're going to go out. You know, sometimes we read to the end of the story in the Bible, which we'll get to the end of the story too, and you're like, well, things really worked out pretty well. But you've got to remember, they didn't know that. They hadn't gone out before. The 12 had had an experience together, but this other group of 60, this was their first time. And it's going to be the first time for all of us at some point where we go out, and we just have to trust Jesus that he's going to meet us on the way. As we do, we can realize that we're going to be received by people. Like I said, there are receptive people out there. We can trust that when Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, that it really is. So in verses 5-7, it says this about their experience when they get to a certain place. He says, when you enter a house, first say peace to this house. If someone who promotes peace is there, your peace will rest on them. If not, it will return to you. Stay there, eating and drinking whatever they give you, for the worker deserves his wages. Do not move around from house to house. Okay, so God is expanding the team. He's saying to those who are going out, look, when you go to a certain place, there's going to be someone that we could call the person of peace who's going to be prepared by God to receive you there. This word peace in the Hebrew, and this was the greeting and still is today among Jewish people, is the word shalom. Can you say that word with me? Shalom. Shalom. You may have heard that word before in church. It means the wholeness of God. The completeness of God, a sense of well-being and that everything's right in the world because you have your identity based in God. He's saying, I'm sending you out with shalom, with a message of shalom. Come to someone and say, shalom. And if they also receive you with that same shalom, in other words, I've prepared them because of my engagement or relationship with them, they're going to receive you. And that is going to be something that's assigned to you, that you've established a place where you're going to be able to do ministry from in this house. If you think about your own neighborhood, your own workplace, your circuit of markets that you do business with, the place where you play or have recreation together with other people, Think about who that person might be that God has actually prepared, who's a person of peace. Usually that person's a connector, someone who cares about other people, someone who people would go to for advice. In my own neighborhood, across the street and to the right, lives RJ. He's a retired firefighter. Now, our first responders, especially firefighters, they go into that profession because they want to help people, save people, bring people out of tragic circumstances into safety. And even though he's retired, RJ is that way for our neighborhood. He's the guy with all the treats for the dogs who are walking by. He's a person who will give fruit from his trees as he goes by. He learns about that. And he's helped me by me being friends with him. He's helped me to get to know my other neighbors. That's an example of a person of peace. So you're going to be received by persons. You're also going to be received in places. There's going to be places that are receptive to you. If we read on into verse 8. It says, when you enter a town and are welcome to eat what is offered you, heal the sick who are there and tell them the kingdom of God has come near to you. But when you enter a town and are not welcomed, go into its streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet as a warning against you. Yet be sure of this, the kingdom of God has come near you. Right? So they're coming with this kingdom message, with this message of peace, of shalom. There's going to be places where you're welcomed and places where you're rejected. Okay, accepting that fact is so helpful. Remember the stats that I just shared with you from Ed Stetzer's research, that 2/3 of the time you'll get a welcome, 1/3 of the time you'll get stiff-armed. That's just part of the deal. That's part of what we experience as witnesses. That's why he sends us out 2x2, so that we can support and encourage and pray for each other and laugh, you know, about like the rejection that we just received. It's so much easier to experience some of those negative things when you're with someone else, amen? Hmm. And you have to share that, the burden of that. And it is also a thrill to also be able to celebrate together as well. So you bear the burden or the challenge, but you also get to see the victory together and experience that as a team.
Yeah, let's jump to verse 17 and just look at the end of this whole journey that Jesus has these disciples of his on. It says, the 72 returned with joy. Yeah, sheep among wolves. There are going to be some people that accept you, some that reject you. But in the midst of this peril, they return with joy and they said this, Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name. Which I think is so key right there. They went in the name and in the power of Jesus. It wasn't that when they were rejected, they were being rejected. When they were rejected, Jesus was being rejected. When they were accepted and welcomed, Jesus was being accepted and welcomed. This wasn't their ministry. This was Jesus' ministry. And because they engaged with Jesus in his ministry and went into these places, not knowing what was going to happen, but trusting God, God showed up and they returned with joy because of what God had done. He had moved powerfully, God had been faithful, and Jesus, they were so excited about who Jesus was in this moment. Friends, we talked earlier that everyone is meant to go and grow alongside of others. And we see here in this passage, in a short story of what happened when a group of people trusted Jesus together. Mm-hmm. In Sunrise Community Church, we too are invited into this journey of moving forward in faith, trusting Jesus together with what happens with loving others here and loving others in the world around us. But to do that, we're going to have to reject the lie that sharing this journey with others is too vulnerable. And maybe even this morning, God would call you to a faith step just to engage with others or be honest with others in a way that you haven't before. And to move forward together, we also need to pronounce this truth. I'll say it once, and then I'll invite you to say it with me. That just simply says, I won't go it alone. I will walk this journey with others. Would you be willing to say that with me this morning? Let's do that. I won't go it alone. I will walk this journey with others. Friends, this is the end of our series, but it's going to continue. Neighboring won't stop. Loving your neighbor won't stop. And through the course of this series, we've talked about a neighboring challenge that many of you had said yes to. You put your names on the map in the foyer. You got in your guidebooks. It's on the back of your sermon notes in your bulletin today. It'll be up on the screen as well. When we took the neighboring challenge, we said yes to loving others the way God does, embracing the mess and pain of God's glorious work, moving forward, trusting God will come through, taking steps of faith, big and small, and sharing the journey with others so that others around me may experience and know Jesus Christ. I don't know what kind of faith steps you've taken. Maybe you've stepped forward and experienced some really encouraging things, and you've returned in joy saying, God is with us. He's working. Maybe you've been cautious. Maybe you haven't really taken any steps because there's been fear. Well, this morning, as we wrap up, what I want to do is I'm going to invite you. We're going to hit pause. We're going to break into groups about 4 to 6 this morning. And I want you to pray for yourself and for this church in relation to this neighboring challenge and the call to love our neighbors. And maybe in that, you'll just say, God, I've seen some great things happen. Give me more faith. Or maybe you'll look at one of these points and you'll just say, you know what, God, I'm struggling with that. Or maybe it's even a prayer this morning of, God, I'm still figuring out who you are. Show me more of that. Show me your love for me. And maybe it's a simple prayer of, God, how to help me have your love for the people in my world. Whatever it may be, we're just going to break into these groups and we don't even need to discuss it. I just invite you, just go right into prayer together. And maybe even through this, you'll meet somebody you don't know. But let's do this right now. We're going to take about 5 minutes, break into groups about 4 to 6, and take the sheet out and just start together praying these things over yourself and our church. Let's do that right now.
Amen. Just as you wrap up, we want to be able to finish too. And Greg has a couple of things that he needs to share about what's coming up on neighboring. There's a lot of you who actually wrote your name down and put it on the pin map. That's going to remain out in the lobby. Also on this insert, there is a place to actually to write your name and a date. And if it's today's date, you can write that in right there. Put your name and your date. It's very important, actually, to be able to dedicate ourselves to the Lord. And it's really important for a pastor and pastor staff to do those things to prepare you for your ultimate appointment. What is that ultimate appointment? The scriptures teach that we're given to die once and then comes judgment. Not a judgment of our salvation if we truly know Jesus, but a judgment of how we stewarded our life. And the commitment of the pastoral staff here is to help you prepare to really live a true, vibrant, flourishing Christian faith. And this series and the series that preceded it and what are coming up are designed, and the environment here at Sunrise is to help you to take those steps. But just like you came to faith in Christ and you responded publicly in that, that there was a time for those of you who are married that you publicly dedicated yourself to live in a covenant with your spouse in a wedding. There's very important points where we dedicate, we draw a line and we say, this is the day I was water baptized, or the events in the life of the church. And we really want this to be a day for those of you who did write your name down and put it up the pin on the wall, or you're writing, maybe today you're kind of more fully understanding what this is about and you're like, this is the way of Christ I want to walk in, just to be able to pray a short dedicatory prayer. These are all over scripture where people of God dedicate themselves to something that is in alignment and true that God's revealed to them. So if you're someone who wrote your name down and put a pin in the wall and said, this is where I live and I want to be neighborly toward my neighbor, or you're reading this challenge, you're praying this challenge here today, and you're saying, this is the way of Christ that I want to walk in. Again, that's not everybody. I asked people to respond in this way in the first service, and a portion of people stood and many people sat. But if that's you today, I want you to actually just stand right now, and I'm going to pray for you. So if this is you, you put your name on the wall, or you're looking at this commitment and you're saying, yes, this is how I want to walk, please stand right now and I'll pray for you. Father God, for those who are standing, they're making a statement in their stand of saying, they want to live out a way of walking with you in community with you and with others. and to live out these principles in a new and dynamic way. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that your Spirit would just flood their hearts right now with joy and with the power that you promise to be your witnesses in their neighborhoods, in their workplaces, in the places that they move and shop and work and live in Fair Oaks, Orangeville, and the surrounding area. And God, that this would be something that brings life, the life of Christ, into neighborhoods and families and our city. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Amen. Just a few things as we wrap up today. The neighboring series doesn't end here. This may be the last Sunday we're preaching on it for a little while, but you're going to see these concepts pop up again, and we don't graduate from loving our neighbors. So this will surely continue on. Some of the ways it can continue is if you follow along in the guidebook, there is an opportunity and a challenge in the end of that guidebook to do a neighboring event in your community. And I encourage you to see that as kind of a next step for you in this neighboring journey and take advantage of the resources made available to you for that. Also, you can find all these resources continually on our website. They'll be left up there all the time, sunrise.church/neighboring. We'll have the sermons there, the guidebook, other resources, websites, things that'll be helpful to you if you desire to continue to lean into this. And what you're going to find is that throughout the year, we'll refer back to the concept of neighboring, have some neighboring opportunities, even looking at the end of this summer, a neighboring lunch for those who want to continue to grow in this and see more of this happen in their world together. And to form a little bit of a core of people, if you will, that are just saying, yeah, we're going to live this out here at Sunrise Community Church. Well, friends, it's been a really fun journey these last few weeks going together. We've got some incredible things coming up in the coming weeks. And know that love you guys, grateful for you. If you want to come talk more afterwards, we'll be up front. But have yourselves a wonderful Sunday, and we'll look forward to seeing you again here next week.